Did I get this figured out? I've got it. I gotta call Daniel. Hello?
Hey. What are you doing?
You know what I'm doing. It's Tuesday. I've got Taekwondo, and I can't find my nunchucks.
Listen to me.
I am.
You've got to get here. I've got it figured out.
Who is this?
It's David.
Why are you talking like that?
Because it makes me sound cool.
You're right, it does sound really cool. Why do I need to get over there? Wait.
You know what I'm talking about.
Do you mean it? Oh my gosh, you've done it.
Get here now.
I'm on my way.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Up, up. Down, down. Left, right. Left, right. B, A. Select, start.
Okay, I got it. So
repeat it.
Up, up. Down, down. Left, right. Left, left, right.
No.
Okay.
Up, up. Down, down.
Up, up. Down, down.
Left, right. Left, right.
Left, right. Right, left.
You're not even trying.
Yeah. No, I am. Okay. One more time.
Up, up.
Up, up.
Down, down.
Down, down.
Left, right.
Left, right.
Left, right.
Left, right.
B-A.
B-A.
Select, start.
Select, start. It worked.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, very much so.
Mom! Mom! Cindy! Mom! Me and Daniel want some nachos!
You like cheese?
Oh, yeah.
Mom, extra cheese!
My nunchucks!
How about our boys, 21 Pilots, being number one album on the Billboard? Number one record. I mean, unbelievable that these guys have put out this record, and of 200 records right now, it did beat Taylor Swift. I mean, you know, it's up there right now at number one. I remember having the fortune of being a part of Tyler and Josh's life. Actually, I went to church with Josh Dunn when he was like 5 years old on the other side of town, and our family used to do a Bible study in at their house. And then I got to know Tyler right as the church started, and he was actually a music intern here. And I remember when 514 Church was part of helping them sell out the Newport. It was an amazing night. We all went down there. Raise your hand if you were at that show. I mean, there was a bunch of us down there that were like a part of making that happen. And I remember when they were done that night, and it was like, wow, this thing's going to get really big. I remember having a conversation with about five or six different musicians, and they all were saying basically the same thing. They were saying, if they really want to make it, then they're going to have to get other people in their band. I remember one person specifically saying, like, this is never going to work. They have to have at least a bass player. You cannot be successful and just have Tyler up there on the piano and just a drummer. It won't work. I remember all these people, like, they had been in music before, and they're like, this won't happen. This isn't the way it works. This isn't typical. This isn't how it's going to work. They're going to have to get other people in the band, especially if musicians are really going to like their band. They're going to have to get some other musicians in the band. I was like, man, they even used to have a bass player. I mean, how many people saw 21 Pilots play when they had an actual live bass player? Like, not that many people. And then they were like, instead of adding more, they took more away, and now they just still have the drummer and Tyler. And it was not what people thought was going to work. And I love that story. I love that idea because Tyler's whole disposition in it was, man, we're going to do something different. We're going to do something that's not common. We're going to do something that's not normal. We're going to do something that kind of moves into the industry and changes things. And a lot of people didn't think that they could do it. But, I mean, it's pretty much done, right? I mean, wouldn't you say blurry face, done, like they did it? Two guys, unconventional wisdom in music industry, and there they are. And the final message today for this series that we're doing on wisdom is about the complete, comprehensive picture of God's unconventional wisdom for you and for me to give you the greatest success, the greatest chance of success in relationship. You see, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he did things that were like 21 Pilots. It was like, this will never work. This guy that just hangs out with fishermen, this is never going to work. This guy that just walks around and actually touches people that are have leprosy that you're supposed to stay like towns away from, it'll never work. And Jesus changed the game because he's God. And he said, I'm going to bring all you people that think you've got it figured out, all you people that think you know how religion, how faith, and ultimately how relationships are supposed to work, I'm going to flip. I'm going to take what you call wise, and I'm going to give you a code. I'm going to give you a secret that you didn't normally think of, you wouldn't normally think of, you wouldn't walk through life with, and I'm going to give it to you, and if you apply what I do in my life, in one specific area, you will have successful relationships. So in this series, we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom is skill. It's designed to be God's way for life. It can give you success if you apply God's wisdom in every area of your life, in your emotions, in your work, in your wealth, and today specifically, your relationships. Now in the New Testament, there was a man that started a lot of churches named Paul, and by starting these churches, he actually went to these towns, and he shared the gospel of Jesus, and a bunch of people followed Jesus, and then he would go to different towns, and then he would hear how those towns were doing, and he would write letters back to them to help them. And there was one specifically in Corinth that these people, after Paul left, they were having major relationship strife. Among the leadership and amongst the people in the church, they were having major disputes, they were arguing all the time, and it was splitting the church up. And they didn't quite know how to get everybody back on the same page. And so Paul heard about this, and he's like, I'm coming, I'm going to remind you of the secret, of the code of wisdom that I gave you that will help you have a successful relationship with one another. And it's the code that I preach to you that you just are forgetting how it applies. And he basically is like, I came to you not with these ideas that you think will make relationships work, but I came to you with ideas that are from God, that are secrets, that are a written code, that if you follow them, will change your relationships. And so I'm going to take you through chapter 1 and chapter 2 of this letter where he's going, I'm telling you, here's the secret to relationships. I'm telling you, here's the secret to how this whole thing works out. It's not what you think. It's not the philosophy of the Greeks. It's not the intelligence of the Greeks. It's not the most common stuff out there. It's not the wisdom of man. It's something other than that. And he shows them that in the beginning of this letter. So two chapters, I'm going to skip through to the heart, a couple different parts so you can see where Paul unleashes the code and the wisdom for great relationships. He says this, and he's quoting something from the Old Testament. He says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. This is 21 Pilots going, we're not going to do it the way it normally was done. This is God going, this is not how it's going to work. It's not going to work the way you think it's going to work. Whatever you think will work, I'm going to frustrate. Whatever you think will be successful, I'm going to dismantle. Whatever you think is smart, I'm going to show you something that's way smarter. He goes on to talk about how basically the wisdom of God in its lowest fashion is higher than the highest version of God's or of man's wisdom. He goes on to say, like, people look for certain things to find out how to do relationships right and how to live their lives. They seek it out, and they go to philosophers, and they go to the intelligent, and they go to the people that lead in industry. And Paul says this directly to them. He says, Jews demand a sign. They had grown up in a world where there were signs, the parting of the Red Sea, signs, something that would happen physically to demonstrate God's power. And Greeks look for wisdom. They look for intelligence. Come on, show us a sign. Show us something smart to get our relationships back on track. But we preach. And when he says we preach, he means I preach. And the followers of Jesus preach. And the people that love God preach a totally different approach to how to have great relationships. We preach Christ crucified. Crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and a foolishness to the Gentiles. And what he says is, see, when I come in and I want to tell you how to have great relationships, you might look for all these ideas that you think work out. But I'm telling you that the key to great relationships, the wisdom, the skill that is for you to have great relationships is in the crucifixion of Jesus. The skill. The actual way that you can have great relationships is found in the cross. Not just the fact that you understand the cross. Not just that you might look at the cross and go, wow, crucifixion. No. Jesus Christ hanging on a cross in his time, lifted up off of earth on a cross, he displayed the three traits that make relationships way better than you can possibly imagine. Now, it's not just that he died on a cross for your sins and for mine, and therefore gave you eternal life. While Jesus is on the cross, he has interactions that teach you and me the high road. Lifted up on the cross, here's how you have great relationships. He goes on to say this. This is Paul. We do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. He's going, I'm telling you, the way that you think it works is not the way it works. No, we declare God's wisdom. Look what he calls it, a secret. We declare God's wisdom, a secret that has been hidden and that God destined for glory before time began. He goes, we've all been waiting for the best way to have a relationship with God and the best way to have a relationship with others. And in this season, I'm not coming to you with what you think it's about. I'm not going to tell you the things that you understand. I'm going to show you the cross. And to those that are smart, you're going to think that's dumb. And to those that are wise, you're going to think that's foolish. But if you look at it closely, you will see that God's wisdom in relationships displayed on the cross will absolutely change your life and my life and make our relationships as successful as they will possibly be. And when he calls it a secret, he basically says it's a code. There's a code. It didn't come in the box. It's not normal. You have to dig deeper. If you just look at the wisdom of man, or you just look at the ideas that are out there, you're not going to find it. In fact, you have to look directly at the cross, specifically at Jesus Christ on the cross, to find the code for relationship wisdom. Now, you cannot tell me that because Jesus died 2,000 years ago and rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, that that is irrelevant. And when you see how Jesus displays perfect relationship wisdom on the cross, you are going to go, wow, this is the most amazing fashion to have relationships with peaceful people I have ever seen. Being great at relationship never goes out of style. It is always important. And if you don't think the cross is important, I'm about to show you how important it is. The code to wisdom is the cross. The code to wisdom is in the cross. It's Jesus on the cross. The greatest secret you will ever unpack and learn to have great relationships is found in Jesus Christ and the specific interactions that he had on the cross. You have a marriage that you're in right now? You need all three of these. You want to have a great marriage? You need all three of these. This is the code. The code to great relationships is on the cross. You work for anybody, or has anybody worked for you? You want great relationships at work? The code is on the cross. I'm telling you, it's right there. We're going to look at it. You have kids, stepkids. You want to have a great relationship with them? The code is on the cross. He's going to show you exactly how you're supposed to treat one another while he's hanging on the cross. Jesus Christ, perfect, perfect in every single way, went to the cross because God had created this amazing plan to get God in the flesh on a cross to die for all of our sins, because the Bible leads us down this really, really amazing path to say that without bloodshed, there's no forgiveness of sin, and every person needs their sin forgiven. And so Jesus ends up in his life on earth on a cross, dying a death he doesn't deserve to die, but that you and I deserve. He takes our place, and while he's on the cross, you got to get this, going through the most excruciating pain that anyone could have ever gone through, he displays perfect wisdom in relationship. Now, sometimes when you're having a bad day, don't you feel like, I don't have to be nice? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like, you know what, I'm having a bad day, I'm cranky? Jesus, he could have pulled that card. You know, I could be nice, but I'm having a bad day. On Jesus' bad day, on his worst day, his love, his wisdom was still greater than ours on our best day. And he shows it to us when he's on the cross. And what I want to show you is that the secret to relationships and wisdom and skill in relationships is found right on the cross. You need this, and I need this, and if this becomes part of your life, you're going to see relationships blossom like they never have before. You're going to see life on earth. You're going to have the code, and you're going to dial it in, up, up, down, down. You're going to know. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he got to a point where all of there were people. Some people were mocking him. Some people were weeping. Some people were just observing, and there were some people that were his followers. And two of his followers were at the cross, at the foot of the cross when Jesus was hanging on the cross. One was a man named John, who he had a great relationship with and who was the youngest of the disciples, and had a very soft heart. And the other one was the person in his life that had a softer heart than anyone, his mother. And while Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's going to display how to have great relationship. And he looks at John, and he looks at his mom, and he does something that is mind-blowing. It says this. It says, when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here's your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Hanging on the cross, Jesus sat there and said, you know, I want everyone in my family. I want everyone to feel like family. You guys, I'm going to go. But John, I love you. And I want you to love my mom. And mom, I want you to treat him the way that you treated me. I want you to look at him and think, that's my son. I want you to look at the people around you for the rest of your life and stop thinking in terms of silos and stop thinking in terms of turf and stop thinking in terms of difference and start thinking in terms of family. You are all part of the same family. You're part of my family. And the wisdom of the cross that is a game changer for relationships is that you and I, if we want to have great ones, we have to start to treat everyone like family. Every person you come in contact with is a part of your family if you're Jesus to them. I'm telling you, everyone, you have got to get to a point where you stop pushing people away, where you stop judging people and saying, you're not part of me. There's us, and there's me, and then there's you. There's the us's and the them. No. We're all part of one family. It doesn't matter if someone disagrees with you. It doesn't matter if they grew up on the other side of town. But you want to have great relationships, you should start to treat everyone you come in contact with the way that Jesus told John and Mary to interact for the rest of their lives. Have you ever been around someone who treats you like family. And you go, why are you treating me like this? I've had opportunities over the years to go into people's homes and to spend time with them. And I got to tell you, there's two different types of visits that I have. I have visits with people where maybe they're scared or maybe they're nervous or maybe they don't know Jesus. But then I've had the kind of visits where people literally, they treat me like family. And it doesn't mean that they pull out the china. It doesn't mean that they get out the nice glasses. It doesn't mean that they set the dining room table. You know what it means? It means that they hug me. And they go and they sit on their couch. And when I want something, they're like, it's over there. And my space, it's like suddenly, it's like it's our space. There's a lady that is at our church that from day one, she invited me into her home. And I got to know her kids. And her kids, and they'd have me over for dinner. And I come in and they treat me like family. And I know that if you started to treat everyone you come in contact with like they are just as important as those that are just as important or more important to you, your family, then the way that you would have relationships develop would be totally different. I mean, I walk into this lady's house, and it's just like, how are you? And just sit down there, and let's hang out, and I could do whatever I want. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he says, treat each other like family. Now, at 514 Church, we've been talking about this for a little while. We've been talking about how this is a family. If you're in here, you're family. That's like Ryan's Steakhouse, too, but that's not our slogan. If you're here, you're family. 514 Church is an experience for the whole family and a family for everyone to experience. Now, maybe your family isn't the kind of family you would want other people to experience. But you know what this means, this type of love. And so I want to do something kind of cheesy right now, right in the middle of the message. I want you guys to stand up and give someone a hug that you don't know and just be thankful that they are part of this family. Come on, walk across the room. We need more of that. The code to wisdom is on the cross. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And what's happening is that the men, the Romans, and some of the leadership are there. They start to take his clothes, and they start to rip them apart, and they start to sell them, and they start to make money off them and cast lots for them and mock Jesus. And while Jesus is being crucified, people are mocking him. He still says this. He says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They divided his clothes by casting lots. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I mean, if there's ever a time, like I said, where Jesus is having a bad day and he's getting treated poorly, this is your moment where you go, dude, you know what? I can't take it anymore. Like, this is just, like, stop. Like, I just got, I'm gonna just, like, right now, like, I just want, like, lightning just right on those guys. Just pow. Can we just, like, just boom. Can I just evaporate those four guys that are ripping my clothes apart right now? Because I'm on the cross and just, can I just, I don't want to withhold from them. I don't want to withhold judgment from them. You know, everybody else, I died for everybody else, but God, can we smite these guys? Because they are adding insult to injury. They are kicking a horse while it's down. If there's anyone that deserves judgment right now, it's these guys. Have you ever had someone in your life that takes you to that point and you're going, finally, they've just done so much wrong that I can't let them off the hook? I can't let him off the hook now. I got to bring the judgment. I got to bring the pain. It's my job. Jesus was in that moment. He had every right to bring that judgment. And he says this instead. You see, you're going to get to a point in your life where someone crosses the line and then they go 2 miles past the line and you're going to think they need to be excommunicated from my life. And it's really, really difficult when that's family or someone that you had a great relationship with. But on the cross, Jesus shows us the high road. He says, forgive them. Forgive them. They're broken, blind, stumbling through life. Hurt people hurt people. You understand? When someone comes after you, it's really this because someone came after them. And they're just in a corner and they're just swinging. And Jesus just walks through the punches and gives them a big hug. Forgive them. Keep going, forgive them. And not just in the moment have the mental capacity to forgive them, but at a heart level, truly forgive them. Jesus could have in that moment just had an intellectual decision that he made. All right, we're not going to make them pay for their sins. We're going to forgive them. But he didn't. At a heart level, he still loved. In fact, he loved not judging them. It was like, ooh, this is my opportunity. They deserve judgment, and I'm not going to give it to them. Jesus tells us on the cross to treat everyone like family and to love mercy. To love mercy. I mean, if you're honest right now, do you love mercy? Do you love when someone offends you so greatly that they deserve the greatest punishment and you get to pull it away? Do you just enjoy mercy? You see the word mercy, it's the idea of not giving someone what they deserve. What's going to happen is someone is going to do something to you, and they've already done something to you that deserves your judgment and someone else's. And Jesus has been in your spot. He's right there on the cross. I've been here. I'm here. I'm hanging on the cross. I don't deserve this. And they keep going. They keep on mocking me. I'm already bleeding. I'm already broken. And you won't stop? God, come on. And instead, his heart is opposite. I love not bringing the judgment that these people deserve. You want to see your relationships climb, soar, hit max Q? You want to see that? Wait till someone offends you so greatly that you have the greatest gavel you could ever have in your life and decide not to use it. That is a secret. That does not come from man's wisdom. That does not come from anywhere but the cross. Who do you got right now that you're just ready to? Do you really love them? Love mercy. I've had moments, you know, anybody ever got hit in the face with a ball? My kids the other day threw a ball and it smacked me right in the nose. And I just wanted to throw them out the window. And I did. They're fine. It's like they're rubber. They were like, oh, let's do that again. No, I mean, it hurts so bad, and yet you still don't bring the judgment. And you look forward to the opportunity to watch their faces go, oh, he's not going to kick my butt. He's not going to spank. The code is on the cross. Look what he does. Treat everyone like family. Love mercy. Love it. Love. Fall in love with withholding judgment. There's a story. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And the Bible says that he's in between two criminals. It's very simple, right? Like, he's not a criminal and he's in between two criminals. Two men that have done things that are awful. two men that have put them in orange clothing, in prison suits. These men are marked. There's all of us in our street clothes, and then there's those in prison, and they are different. They are outcasts. They are other. They think different. They're messed up. They're broken. We're better than them. What happens is one of the criminals says to Jesus, if you're God, get us off the cross, as if to say, I didn't do anything that bad, and you could help me out. And by the way, Jesus, I've lived my life using people to get what I want. And if there's any way that I could continue my cycle, and I could keep doing what I want to do, get me off the cross so I can continue to act a certain way. Jesus, with tears in his eyes, looks over and just weeps more because the man doesn't get it. And there's another man that says, be quiet. We deserve this. Jesus doesn't deserve this. And Jesus looks at that man who's a criminal, who's in shackles, who's been tried and convicted. He looks at that man and he says this to him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. I'm telling you, you will be with me in paradise today. We're going to be together. You see, there's a scripture in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that teaches that every single human being comes from the same bloodline. No matter what color you are, no matter what behaviors you've done, no matter what your proclivities are, no matter what your sins are, no matter what family you grew up into, all of us are the same. We're all the same. We were born at different times in different places. Some of us are darker, some of us are lighter, some of us are taller, some of us are shorter. But we still have in our society a problem where there's those that we think are less than us, and then there's us. Around race, around disposition, around where you're born, around what you think, around who your parents are. And Jesus in this moment says, we're going to be in the same place together. Doesn't matter what you did, doesn't matter where you came from, we're going to paradise together. And when you go to paradise because of Jesus, you're going to see people with different color eyes. You're going to see people with different color skin. You're going to see people with different skills. And all of us, for the first time, are going to be one. And all the tensions and all the crap that's out there right now, where we might think because we're white, we're better than them, or they might think because they're black, we're better, is all going to disappear. And we're going to be with Jesus. And Jesus displays that wisdom on the cross. He says you need to treat people like they're family. That's everyone. You need to love mercy and withholding judgment. And you need to accept everyone. Accept everyone. We have a heart problem. We think we're better than people. We do. We think that because people look a certain way, act a certain way, that we're better than them. I'm sick of it. I am sick of even just the racial tension in this country. And I'm sick that what gets put on the news, that what we do is we try to pick a side. Jesus didn't pick a side. He said, you, and you, and you, all of you, any of you, anyone that wants to, is going to be with me in paradise. You see the prisoner. I see a person. You see a sinner. I see someone I can save. You see someone that's meek and broken. I see someone that I can give strength to. You see someone broken, and I see the same person in you, he says. Did you ever think for a second that maybe you're the criminal on the cross? It's you. And Jesus is saying to you, today I'm going to be with you in paradise. I mean, could we be a church that starts to actually be a group of people that loves people no matter what their background is, no matter what they do, no matter what their disposition is? Homosexuality. Ooh, here we go. Everyone's listening towards the end. I have no statement on it other than this. Accept everyone. Love everyone. Pull them close. If you are here and you battle with that, you can put your faith in Jesus the same way I did. No matter what you're going through, Jesus loves you. No matter what. I am sick of Christianity being portrayed in any other way, because the Christ that I see on the cross has his arms open wide enough for everybody. Does God have a journey for you? Yes. Does he have a journey for me? Yes. Does he have life change for every one of us? Yes. But also, he accepts everyone. Everyone. You guys ready for that type of life? You ready to start treating people that way? You ready to start seeing relationships change? And you have to treat everyone like family, love, mercy, and accept everybody. It's the code. It's a secret. You have to figure it out. You have to go for it. We all need our hearts to be warmed up. Do you know that? My favorite line from the new Blurry Face record is in the song, The Judge. And it says this: I know my soul's freezing, hell's hot for good reason. And in that moment, Tyler expresses the brokenness of every one of us at some level, and that is that we are cold. We are selfish. We are self-centered and self-righteous. God does not even get close to that point while he's hanging on the cross. If you can't stand by loving everybody, then you don't stand by Jesus. You want people to change? You want you to change? Adopt these three things. You guys ready for some change in relationship? Think differently, act differently, feel differently. We need to stand up. Let's stand up for a second. The wisdom, listen, the wisdom of God is so much higher than the wisdom of man. It's a secret, it's a code, it's something different. As soon as you think you figured it out, that's when you're in trouble. You got to keep searching. Let's take a minute and let's pray. Father, I just pray for everyone in this room that your heart would be their heart. That our hearts right now would warm up. That we would start to treat everyone like family, withhold judgment from people, and just look forward to it. Just love it. And accept every person. Knowing that every person's on a journey. Every person needs you. Every person needs you the way that we need you. Give this local church the heart of Christ to be out in the community day by day. The light of the world, 514 Church. In Jesus' name.